We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, in verses 14 and 15, how Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this is what he said: "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The last twice in the morning services, I preached on repentance. And if I were to leave it there, I may reasonably be open to the accusation that they were do-it-yourself messages. But repentance is concerned with a command of the Lord. He says, repent, in an imperative, do it. See that your life is changed. It is not simply do it yourself, it is a response, an appropriate response to the Word of God. And we must in no way detract from that. As every man does, you too have a duty and a responsibility to choose the way of life that honors God. It is your responsibility. So do it. Repent. As I said already. Yet, I did hint at one point in the course of those sermons that this is a change which does work with something else. True repentance that does bring a change of life requires faith. The scissors, they belong together. But we may go on to see as well that true faith, if that is true repentance that requires faith with it, then true faith, as also commanded by the Lord, must be found in that changed life, a life of repentance. But I devoted attention specifically to repentance first, with a purpose. Because we are in a kind of church, when we think that we have the gospel, when we say, with Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He spoke to the jailer in Philippi in such terms. He said, believe, and you will be saved. And that is true, as a summary. But it has massive implications to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the faith that James wrote of when he says, I will show you my faith by my works. And he doesn't mean a set of good works, he means his life, the way he goes about life. It is that faith that makes a difference. The great man of the Reformation, one of their, we would call it a slogan perhaps, was salvation by faith alone. But that is a faith that works repentance. And it works repentance because of their initial underlying emphasis of the reformers on the sovereignty of God. Because they knew they were speaking of the King. As Jesus did. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom draws near. Therefore, repent and believe in this gospel. It is because God is the King, because Christ is the King, that we must have both repentance and faith. And I would like to develop this a little further this morning. And I would speak first of all of the kingdom that comes, the basis for this command. But then also, as these two things are put together, to speak of believing repentance, And third, of repenting faith. So first of all, the kingdom that comes. The Bible story, as Mark tells it, as others tell it, they tell us that John preached repentance. But he did it with a basis. He was telling of the coming of the Lord, as Mark speaks of what was written in the prophets. And Jesus also, once John was imprisoned, Jesus also preached repentance and faith with a basis, with reasons, with grounds, with a foundation. The kingdom of God is at hand. If we know, if we define repentance as a change of life, if we know that true repentance is a true change of heart, is there any reason why it should happen? Why it should be done? This is a reason that is given by both of these preachers, that the kingdom of God, which was long looked for, kingdom of God is drawing near, coming near to you, he was saying to the people. It is at hand. Or we can look at what Jesus said about believing. Believe in the gospel. I hope you will ask, what gospel? We all too often think that we do know what the gospel is. We use it as a caption. But it's wise to keep coming back to it. Wise to see the way that the Bible unfolds what the gospel is all about. It's wise to gain a better insight by realizing that it is spoken of in different ways, in different places. And Mark's summary of the gospel, as Jesus preached it here, is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming. That is the gospel. That is the message. We sometimes emphasize it as the good news. It is, in the first place, the message that needs to be brought. Although, as Mark also goes on to say, or has said already, the beginning of his gospel record is that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in verse 1. It's not that he means different things by this, but that we bring them together. It's to realize what it's all about. That the kingdom of God was and is coming near to men, drawing near, it is at hand, simply because Jesus has come amongst us. He is the good news. He is the gospel that he himself was preaching. How is the kingdom of God at hand? Because he is at hand. Because he has come amongst men. He brings that kingdom. The kingdom comes when the king comes. And that's what Israel would have understood, what the Jews would have understood. They would be looking for God's great king to come and ride in victory into the city. The kingdom comes when the king comes. He, Jesus, is the Lord that the prophet spoke of. Prepare the way of the Lord. That's what John was doing there in verse 3. He brings a very different kind of kingdom. A kingdom of life, not death. A kingdom of light, not darkness. Not according to the spirit of this world. But if that is the kingdom he brings, because of who he is, then those who belong to that kingdom must live by that kingdom. The life to be lived in that kingdom must be different as well. This is the king that the prophet Habakkuk said is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And it's this that explains the call to repent. If this is the kingdom and this is the kingdom you want, then life must be different. It's just such few words. Words that we can be so familiar with in life as a whole. But it's a message worth hearing. It's a message worth hearing with seriousness and with devotion. And hearing it to the extent of believing it. Believing in this gospel of the kingdom. to the extent of believing in the truth of it. That means that truth concerning this king, concerning Jesus. But if you believe that, you must set your life accordingly, which is repentance. And the presence of the kingdom of God is, we might say, more than enough foundation for this twofold call to repent and believe. There is a vitally important connection between these two actions which I will emphasize today. Just like the two parts of that scissor, they belong together and they are not effective for what they're meant for if they're attempted separately in any way at all. And we have been very much in the danger of separating them. We do treat them all too often as different things, not working together. And so let's talk about believing repentance. Repentance. Repent. By this I mean that when you repent, it must have a believing character to it. You're to repent according to the direction that a true faith will lead. And that true faith is a belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom. May I just make a comment that don't be too hesitant about using these words together, using them as dealing with the same thing, belief, trust, faith, depend, rely. They all work together and deal with what the Bible is talking about, what God himself is calling men to. They give the full picture of what faith entails. As in, it's not just a belief in the mind, something that you agree to. It is trust. It is dependence. It is putting your life on that rock that we sang of in Psalm 40. Believe. Trust. Have faith. Be faithful. When I say a believing character to your repentance, I mean first that you repent because you believe, but also that you are made able to repent by that trust. You repent because you have the knowledge through your faith and trust that this is the way to go. This is the way of life. And you set out on that path. This is an ongoing relationship between the two. Both words, they are in imperatives, they are commands, but they are ongoing commands, not just once, but to be built and grown every day. This is the way to go. Under that conviction, you go that way, and your life has changed. But perhaps even more importantly, your faith in the gospel, in Christ, in God, that's what enables your repentance. It is by relying on him that repentance becomes possible. And sometimes when we talk like that, we tend to think of a sequence of events. But I stress again, these things belong together. They must work together, not one without the other. That enabling, by knowing Christ, relying on him yourself. It is by virtue of entering a new relationship with the Lord. We heard last week of that wonderful promise of Jesus to come to him and his yoke is easy, that he will share the burden of life with his people. It is a new relationship with him. That you can now resist the devil and temptations. That you can now leave behind the works of evil because he is with you through faith. The other thing I want to remind you of is that these things are intermingled when we think and remember that faith is a gift of God. That's one thing that we know very well. Do we know as well that believe is a command? It is something you do. It's a difficult thing sometimes to tie together. But it is a gift of God, but it is also your responsibility. So too is repentance. And here's one of our difficulties, that we do often emphasize that faith is a gift of God. God, give me faith. We forget to ask that God would give us repentance. We also forget to do faith, to do our believing, and expect that all we must do, and we must do, our repenting. We get it so mixed up. Both of them are gifts. Both of them are commands. Believe, you are told. But there is at least one place. There are not many places where we're told that faith is a gift. There are multitudes of places where we're told to believe. But there is one place where repentance is also spoken of as a gift. When Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter, he speaks of those, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. And if it is founded on belief and trust and faith, which we do know well to be God's gift, then it must also be God's gift as well. These are intermingled. They are inextricably linked. They cannot be taken apart. It's a scissor with a rivet, not a screw, that we would so quickly take out. It is believing repentance that we must have. But it is also repenting faith. We can say similar things under this heading. Remember that there is an object to this belief, the faith. It is stated, believe in the gospel. Many of you will know, at least in the words you will know, a verse that tells us, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. But very shortly after that, Jesus also said, he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There too, Jesus is collecting together believing and deeds, works, life. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. In the first place, Jesus spoke there of the failure to repent, and then about those who do the truth, those who have repented. But as Jesus put it together there, John 3, verse 18 to 21, he shows that not believing means that you don't repent of the ways of evil. Yet, at the end of that, he also showed what would be the effect of believing, of having faith. It would be that new life, deeds that have been done in God. You see, true faith, the faith that the Bible speaks of, this believing that Jesus spoke of is a faith that brings about a repentant life, a change of life. I mentioned earlier that James wrote, I will show you my faith by my works. These things were evident also as God spoke to his people in Hosea chapter 6. There was a call to turn again to the Lord. But did you see the basis for that? Those to whom God spoke would turn to him because of relationship with him. Because they could trust in him as they could trust in no one else. Change of life belongs with trust in God. Or, as Paul suggests when writing to Timothy, again in the second letter, there are some who have, he says, a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And we take those words just on their own, take them in the context, and he's talking about people who have the form of godliness, and you look at the things that they've been doing, and you wouldn't expect to see them here. He's talking about people who are in church, who do show all the outward displays of being godly in certain settings. But in many others, in the rest of their life, they're characterized by sin. They're seen to be sinners. They have the form, but not the power. It hasn't had the impact upon their lives. The frightening thing here is that these are people who can say all the right things and religious, but the evidence of change is not there in their lives. I think both Paul and James would probably sooner see a man's life changed than that he does all the right religious things and knows all the right religious words. It's a faith that brings a difference, that allows God's Spirit to exercise His power and change life, bring about that repentance. And so you see, this faith, this belief, it's far from some fluffy self-confidence, which is all that men mean by it today so often. It's something that makes an impact. It's something that's strong, something that leads to repentance and a change to something specific, because it is a person here. It is the King who commands, who directs a particular change. He calls men to follow His way, the way of His kingdom. And it's by trust, it's by believing that a man, a woman, a child, a fisherman, four fishermen, led to respond and to follow. It's a strong thing that will wrench your life out of its old comfortable ways. Perhaps your present comfortable ways. Yes, even you, professing believer. True faith is a strong thing to bring you into something new that's entirely given over to pleasing and honoring God. Faith, repent, and believe in the gospel. Repent and start believing. By believing, may your life be changed. Now perhaps you say, I know these things. Be careful if you do. It's fine if you do. It's good if you do. But consider, ask yourself, can I also say I live by them each day? I have grey hairs, means I've been around for a little bit, and I've learned a lot of things over those years. But if I don't have those things as part of my daily life, and I can't recall them, I cannot say I know them. I've learnt them once, but no longer can I say I know them. And there are times in the epistles of Paul in particular, watch out when he says, don't you know? He means, these are things that have been taught, you seem to have forgotten them. How do I know you've forgotten them? Because you're not doing them. You're not using them in daily life. And we cannot be casual about this. This is not just that we know the theology. It's bad theology if it hasn't penetrated into our hearts. It is so important that both repentance and believing in the gospel are at work in your life today and every day. And I'm not talking about a repentance that you're working out in your own strength. Nor am I talking about a faith that is in words only, that form of godliness that has little effect on the way you live your life. And both of these are equal dangers in the same person. In you or in me, we can fall into both those traps, even at the same time. And therefore I have little doubt that you need this reminder. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God in one verse. That's why Mark puts it that way. Jesus, I'm sure, preached time and hours on end, but he puts it this, saying this. This is the heart of it. The kingdom of God is at hand. Implicit, therefore, repent and believe in this gospel. But you know, one other thing I do want to say. I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon this morning that I had spoken about repentance 2 weeks ago for a couple of weeks at a time. Now, there may have been somebody here for that on those occasions and not here today. And they've heard all about repentance, a hint now and again to do with faith. But we had a lot to say about repentance that filled the time that we had. I only concentrated on one aspect of this message. But if someone misses today, they will get a lopsided picture. They will not be reminded of how these things belong together. What's the answer? Do I have to go through this gospel in its basic elements every single week in the same way to make sure that everyone gets every part of it? That would leave us all in the same position. My understanding is that we gather often in order to build up each other in the faith. But if there are interruptions, are we building? Are you building yourself? Are you building one another? If you are of the same mind, please share that same concern and prayer. Be active to persuade others to be more regular. We know that there are times that people have demands that take them elsewhere. There will be a demand at some point in the year when I will need to get away myself. But I think you know what I mean. How can we make this a choice when this is so desperately important? The King of God, the kingdom of God is near because the King is near. He has come. Are you in that kingdom or outside of it? If you're in the kingdom, don't you desire to know his way? And we come together to find that way. Now, it's not the whole story. I trust you are finding the way daily Bible reading and study and in prayer. But is not this important? Time to gather together to renew our relationship with God together? And if we miss anything, we will be walking under false impressions of this gospel of Christ. And with such false impressions, your life may be left far short of what it could be if you were under the full truth. I go by week by week. I'm getting there, but it's still a long way to go. And I ask this morning, who is with me? I'm particularly aware of it when I pay attention to repentance 1 week. I can't deal with faith at the same time because that repentance needs so much attention. We're coming again to faith, God willing, next week. Are we getting the whole picture? Are we diligent in these things that we will understand? You wouldn't do it at school. You would want to catch up. You wouldn't do it at work or at other study. You would need to catch up. Can we do it with this when it's speaking of the kingdom of God? And so remember, the kingdom of God is not in word but in power, Paul said to the Corinthians. And the context there is How are you living your life? Are you changed and changing because you believe in the one whom God has sent? It's not one or the other. It's not one before the other. Both together, repent and believe in the gospel. May God grant his blessing upon it, upon his word today. Let us pray together.